Hand me that torch. It looks like the ground is moving.
It's time for devil's business. You're standing in a snake pit, Indy.
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Welcome to the Devil's Business Podcast. Now, here's your host, Patrick Jolly, and the guys of MyFavoriteSin.com.
I'm here with Aaron, a.k.a. Sofane, and Nick, a.k.a. Alcoholic. What's up, guys?
I like to party.
Well, this is episode 42, the answer to life, the universe, and everything. And we're calling the episode, I Shouldn't Be Here. This is all going to be stories where you didn't realize what situation you were in until you were deep into it, and you suddenly look around the room and go, oh, shit, I probably shouldn't be here. And I'm sure everyone's had similar stories. But before we go into those, let's go to My Favorite Sin, our sponsor. Nick, tell me the promos of the week.
Our once-a-month Tuesday party at Czar Bar. It's going to be ladies' night, vodka drink specials. Main stage Wednesdays at Rockin' Taco up on the new Sky Deck. You guys got to come check that shit out. It is so much fun up there. It's so nice. The weather's been great. Moving into Thursday after that, we've got Tongue and Groove Thursdays, and we also host a after party at Icon. It's called Icon After, the little after party hour. So if you want to rock it until 5 a.m. on a Thursday, you're more than welcome. Moving to Friday, on Fridays over at Opera, if you go to the website and put in promo code Center, you'll get 5% off of all the Friday night Illuminate presented DJs at Opera. I mean, it's insane that the people they're bringing. They just had Mark Schultz, yeah, Chucky last week. I mean, it's great. Also, we do, if you want to get in free over at Havana, we got a guest list over there. Just sign up before 9 o'clock on the night of the event. I'll send the guest list in. You'll get in free. And then moving on to, our one-year anniversary is coming up this Friday for Cosmolava. We've been there for a year. So Metro Midtown Fridays.
So it's been a year?
It's been a year.
I drank away a year.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember it. Do you?
Totally worth it. Let's go back.
So join us for our one-year anniversary of promoting Friday nights down at Cosmolava. That's going to be great. And then we always wrap up the week, Tongue and Groove Saturdays. It's we've got an old-school party coming up this Saturday with DJ Rose. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So
nice.
Hope to see you guys there.
All right, now let's go ahead and jump into our I Shouldn't Be Here stories. And Aaron, you're going to kick this thing off with Save Us a Table.
One weekend a few years ago when I lived with Nick, we had a really nice apartment in the Vinings on the hill, so it overlooked the city. We really enjoyed it, and it was cool when we would have friends in because it was a large place, and right. So we had room to allow people to sleep over. And we had a couple of our friends in from Nashville. Brad and Melissa. We, on Sunday, we all decided we wanted to go to brunch.
Nice.
At a local place, Atkins Park. It's cool. And it's a nice little joint. Yeah, it's a nice little joint.
Quaint.
Yeah, it is. It's cool. Really good food. We enjoyed hanging out there. It was right down the street. I slept a little late, man. We had been partying a little hard the night before, and we were tired. It had been a long weekend. And I slept a little later than I thought. Mm-hmm. And I heard Nick barreling down the hallway. And so I open the door of my room, and he is dressed, and he's got this new girl with him that right. We had just met. And they were like, whoa, we're going down to Atkins Park. I'm like, whoa, shoot, man, I still got to wake up Brad and Melissa, and I've got to, you know, my girl with me, the girl I was dating at the time. Well, we got to get ready. This is going to take us a minute. And he's like, man, we're going to go ahead and head out. I'll save you a table. I was like, sweet. Sweet. So they go ahead and bail out. Now, it does take over an hour to get the girls up and dressed and get everybody showered and ready. And I'm like, oh, God, it was taking forever. Man, we finally took off and got to Atkins Park about an hour and a half after Nick poured out the door.
Nice. Now, Nick was out partying late that night, too, right? So he was already kind of...
I'm not sure Nick stopped partying. I think he just was like, man, screw it. Let's just have some cocktails for breakfast and go early to brunch. Man, I show up, and Nick certainly had saved a nice big table in the main room, and the place is getting a little crowded. And they've ordered shit tons of appetizers. It's just appetizers all over the fucking plate. And it looks like he's having a good time. I'm like, sweet, man, it's going to be good. And so the hostess asked me, you know, how many? I'm like, look, we're with these two over here. When I pointed over there, she frowned just a little bit, like, and it seemed incidental. At the time. But went over and we said our lows, and Nick was, man, his head was a little wobbly on his neck, and he
bobble-headed
was loud.
Nick.
Like, he was turned up. Hey, baby. motherfuckers, what happened? Just giving us the whole business. I'm like, whoa, this is a little, you're a little loud for the situation,
for
man.
For brunch.
A little torqued up for a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, read the room. And so we sit down, and he's like, man, nachos and all, man, all kinds of stuff on the table. And so we sit down, we start eating, the lady comes over and gets our drink order, and Nick is just giving her a hard time. Just kind of giving her a hard time, being a smart ass. And he's trying to make a joke, and he slams his hand down on the table and, like, hits the end of a spoon, and it goes flying over his shoulder and bangs against the wall, and he's just laughing, and his date is laughing, and she is three sheets. I'm like, so
she's already shit-tossed. He's being loud and obnoxious, and he's a whirlwind of Nick.
And it's getting fast. And
she looked like a rag doll at that point.
Yeah, and I was like, Nick, we're only it took us an hour and a half, and I'm sorry, but I didn't know we were gonna miss the whole party.
We kind of stopped by a couple of places before.
You went bar hopping on Sunday morning.
We went bar brunch hopping, and then and by the time I got the table and was ready, that's why, like, when they showed up, all the apps are there, and I'm shit faced.
Nice.
I was like, I want that table. I want this, and 4 Jägerbombs.
Nice.
The lady will have one.
She'll have whatever drips off my lip.
So we get our drink order, and I'm talking to Nick, and I'm like, man, is everything okay? He's like, man, I'm just having a good time, man. Just don't worry about it. Everybody here is cool. Everybody here is cool. I'm like, you're being a little loud. He's like, no, fuck these motherfuckers are cool. And
see, in Nick's head, everyone's having a good time with him.
Yes. Now, I'm looking around, and the people at the other tables nearby and the bar and everything are giving us kind of like frowny looks.
Yeah.
You know, we just got started. The rest of us just got started, and we're like, man, well, we're not prepared for these kind of eyes being cut at us. But surely everything will be fine. We're here now. Nick by himself. You know, she didn't know any better. She's a new girl, so she doesn't know to, like you got to pull the reins in on Nick. Otherwise, it'll go full tilt.
I've learned with Nick, though, pulling the reins back just encourages more. It's like he will not be told what to do.
Yeah.
So when you pull the reins back, he's going to get way worse before it's ever going to get better.
There's a way to do it if you use a carrot and a stick. and remind him, like, hey, we want to have a nice afternoon. It's just lunchtime. So we got a lot of day ahead of us. And I was like, man, I'll be able to pull this thing together. Well, the waitress comes back over to get our food order, and my asking him and pleading with him just to tone it down a little bit did backfire a little bit.
There you go. You should have hit him with that carrot and the stick.
Yeah. So he starts getting pretty loud. He said, no, fuck that. I do what I want and everything. He's like, these people love me. And all right. Oh, he's getting a little barky, and he starts hammering his hand on the table and yelling, bring me a blowjob. Somebody bring me a blowjob. I'll blowjob now.
That doesn't exchange. You can't go, I don't want the peas. Can I have the blowjob?
Instead, make it a double. And
because I want some later.
So I'm like, man, that is wildly inappropriate.
For brunch, at least.
Yeah, and it is being turned up, and our friends who are in town and the girl I'm with they're all horrified.
Aghast.
Horrified. And by the time she's back around getting the food order, Nick's date is just passed out face down on the table. Just passed out.
Like, drooling.
Napping.
Everything.
And I'm like, wow. Well, you killed this girl. You just just met her. And now she's dead. And the lady's trying to take our order, and Nick is yelling for blowjobs. And so it takes us a minute. I have to send her away and get him, like, calm down. And she comes back, and we order some simple sandwiches.
And, something fast, please.
Yeah, just come on. Nick is insistent that he's fine. He's just insisting that everything is okay. And I was like, Nick, you can't yell things like, bring me a blowjob at the top of your lungs in a public place. He's like, why the fuck not? I'm not going to get one from this bitch. And he reaches over and he grabs her by the back of her hair and pulls her upright. And she just lolls up and her mouth hanging open and her eyes rolling in the back of her head. And he just drops her and she falls right into her plate with like a clatter. Like, bang, bang.
Oh, Jesus.
And I'm like, Nick, fuck. And he's like, I told you.
You got to order them now because they ain't coming later.
Yeah, and so now I can see that the staff is
aware.
Well, they're giving us the you know, the dirty eye here. Yeah. I'm getting it from everybody, and the manager.
Well, Nick's all about the dirty eye.
Yeah, the manager has moved over to a position where he's just supervising our table, and he's just ratcheting it up, and just drinking, and just putting beers down. And they had just about decided that that was enough for this table. I've only had a couple cocktails. You know, I'm trying to have a good time. They end up cutting off our table, and Nick's just, man, he's raging or whatever, and he gets a little something in his throat and just turns, and boom, fires off a loogie over his shoulder. And it goes right on their brick wall. Pow. I was like, oh, man, this is bad. This is bad. This is not the brunch the I wheels, thought I was attending.
The wheels, yeah, were coming off quick.
And he's sitting there, and he's sitting right, you know, right beside me, and then on the other side of him is his date. And so she's on his right. And with his right hand, he's just slugging beers. And he's down on his last beer because they won't serve anymore. And he's getting kind of angry. And just puts his beer down on the table. And he puts it right in the dip. Right in the spinach dip. And I was eating the spinach dip. So I was like, Nick, you drunk ass. You just put your beer right in the spinach dip. He's like, what? And I'm like, your beer is in the dip. And so he picks up the beer and he turns it upside down to his right.
To admire.
To look and make sure that I'm not bullshitting that there's dip on the bottom of the beer while he just pours the beer out on his date. She comes to like she's just been revived at the beach. You know, like a Baywatch. What the fuck is happening? And that's when the manager calls it. He just calls it, and I'm like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. My friends are just so embarrassed.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do.
I think I even hit Brad in the face.
You did. You did hit Brad in the face.
Jesus Christ.
But in a friendly way.
It was
Brad.
A loving way, but I was so wasted. I had no idea that I cleaned his clock, and I was like, I fucking love you, Brad. Pow!
Yeah, it just gives him a slap across the face. It almost knocked him out.
And
like,
Brad's
he heard
a
his neck
big
crack.
Dude. That's a big fucking dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hear his neck crack when Nick hits him. And Nick's just blissfully unaware, and Nick or Brad's just turning red. I'm like, all right, we got to get the hell out of here. Now there's going to be a
now
fight.
Because now it's not only the people at Atkins Park that want to kick him out. Brad is going to take him outside, too.
Yeah. I got to give the manager credit because he comes to me. I think he had spotted
but
me
you were the
as
responsible.
Trying to rein this in.
When Sofane is the responsible one, then the world is upside down.
And yeah, you got trouble.
This is going to go bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, he had come and he was just quietly talking to me. He's like, look, I've already called the cops. I was like, wow, that is, you were sitting there the whole, that is really good. That I think he must have radioed with his one little ear radios and got someone to call the cops. So I was like, all right, that's it. And I was like, Nick, the police are on the way. So I don't give a fuck, man. I'd leave it anyway. And so him and he just grabs this girl, yokes her up, and she's like just like a rag doll.
All of her shit fell out.
Yeah, he's walking. They're walking across, you know, away from the table toward the front door, right through all the other tables. And her purse is upside down. She's only got one strap over her arm, and it's just open and just dumping things all as they go through the dining room. So I jump up, and I'm going behind them, picking up stuff like, you know, credit cards and IDs and lipstick, and trying to gather them in my hand. And he just walks right past the manager and the hostess and all these people. Screw you. He's got his keys in his hand, and he's heading for his car.
Now, oh, God.
As we're getting out the door, the first police cruiser pulls up.
From what I remember, I was trying to go to the car like an asshole, but as soon as you saw, like, there was a yellow cab that had come.
Yes,
and then the cop was right behind the cab, and Aaron does the, get the fuck out of here, slams the door, don't worry about it, I'll take care of this, bye-bye.
Put him right in the cab. I just...
Defining stuffing me in the cab.
Stuffed him in the cab and sent him off, and then the cops were talking about, yeah, he had too much to drink. Well, I heard he was going to drive home. I'm like, well, he didn't drive home. You just saw him leaving the cab.
He's not driving the cab.
Yeah, his willingness to drive home and put everyone in Atlanta's lives at risk is not what we're talking about here. Yeah. Intent. It took me about 20 minutes to apologize to all the staff and pay his gigantic tab. It was humongous. What an amazing tab to pay all that and get everything cleared up.
Oh,
and
so
get
you're
out
not,
of there.
You're not still friends. He's just, he owes you money and he's still working it off.
Oh, yeah. By the time I got back to the apartment, they were both passed out.
Good.
I guess the guy got him there the next morning. and we had to, you know, go back and pick up the car and try to, you know, put the pieces back together for Nick, who didn't understand why everybody at Atkins Park was so negative.
I had to call him sick to work Monday, and I called it the Jaeger flu.
Yeah, the bad case of the Jaeger flu. Yeah, that'll happen. Well, I'm going to take the second story, and I'm calling this story Two Rails to Freedom. I was doing a show in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm up there doing a show at this Irish pub. This is Matthew Lumpkin and I. We're doing our comedy show, our St. Sinner's comedy show. And we brought our fat friend that was up from, like, Neenah, Wisconsin. It's about 45 minutes away. We call him Manservant Nate. He's this big, fat, roly-poly-looking guy. Looks like a hobbit. You know, we call him, like, Ground Zero or Low Tide. Like, he has all these little nicknames. So we grab Low Tide, and we take him with us to be our MC at the show in this pub. And right after the show, the owner of the pub, Sean, he's having a great time. He loved the show. The show was sold out. And he has a bunch of his friends there as well. He's having so much fun. He's, you know, he gives us a bottle of Jameson. So I'm sitting there drinking out of a bottle of Jameson on stage. I'm getting a little drunk. Manservant Nate is getting kind of drunk. Matt Lumpkin, he is quite drunk. And we're having a really, really fun time. Well, at some point, Matt's outside smoking cigarettes, talking to people. And the owner, Sean, and a bunch of his friends, about 10 of his friends, were like kind of piling behind him. He goes, "Hey, man, come on, come with us. And so Nate and I kind of wander with this whole group. We're like, yeah, we're high-fiving everyone. They were just having such a good time. They go in this back room. And it's like the storage room.
In the back room.
And the door closes, and somebody locks it and stands in front of the door. And I'm like, yeah, what are we doing? I thought we were about to go get shots at first, but then all of a sudden we got led into this back room. I'm like, oh, he's going to bring out some like really expensive scotch. This guy's awesome.
Is this Fight Club?
What's happening? Then all of a sudden, this nice family photo got put down, turned down flat on the table, and a big bag of white stuff came out. And I could only assume it was cocaine.
I'd say it's a safe assumption.
Yeah, so I was just kind of staring at it, and they start cutting up little lines. Cut all over. I'm like, oh no, I am totally in the wrong place at the wrong time. I should not be here because I don't do drugs. I don't like bend on. Like, okay, I can just do drugs one time just to get out of the situation. No, I'm not going to do the drugs. So now I'm trying to, in my head, figure out how I can not do the drugs, because I found out when you're hanging around a bunch of people that are already drunk and doing drugs, if you start saying you don't do drugs, they either think you're a narc, that you're judging them, and they're not very happy with
you. Yeah, you think you're better than me?
Yeah.
You think you're fucking better than me?
It's one of those things where you're just insulting the fuck out of them, and they're going to get pissed at me, and I got my fat, fat, sweaty friend next to me, and I'm staring at him, and I'm looking at the door, and this big guy's in front of the door, and they're starting to play, they're just laughing, I can see the picture coming around. On its way towards me. I'm thinking, that's great. This guy's doing lines off his grandmother's forehead.
And, it's appropriate.
And he's passing it around. And it's heading our way. I look right over at Manservant Nate and go, hey, Nate, you're going to have to do this blow because I'm not doing it. You have to do both these for us. And he's just all fat. Like, this guy, the only white substance he takes is like inside of an Oreo. That's the only thing he's going to take. Bless his heart. Fat fuck did two rails right there. Boom, boom. And then we kept it passing, and finally the guy gets out of the way. I'm like, yeah, all right, guys. Because now the picture's past me. I'm like, they don't care about me no more. And I just kind of opened the door, and I shuffled Nate out, and Nate's all wired and more sweaty.
Having a heart attack.
Yeah, he's got palpitations going on. And then after all that and all the drinking and the blow, I was like, hey, we probably should go. We've already been paid. Let's just get the fuck out. So we pour into the car, and we make Nate drive us back to Neenah, Wisconsin. And he's like, shit house, but he's wired. I'm like, look, you're sober, more sober than we are. And he had
Jesus.
And the next morning, I look at Nate, and he just looks like a bag of dicks. And I was like, hey, man, how you feeling? He goes, it's cool. I learned from a friend what you need to do is you have to snort water to just clear out your nose. And I'm like, wait, you were in here just snorting water all the time?
That's how you drowned.
Yeah, that's called drowning, you asshole.
What a dipshit.
That poor kid. Nice. We have run him to the gauntlet so long.
Nice. Nice. It's like, man, it's a good friend that'll just jump on those.
Yeah, just put his rail, put the nose rails.
Yep. Yep. Little white grenades. Pounce right on him.
Poor fat fuck. All right. Nick, you got the third story, and this is the most literal one. Trapped in a snake pit. So your story is trapped in a snake pit.
So years ago, I flew to New Orleans just to get out of town for a month. And I don't have any friends in New Orleans. I just went there just to get the fuck out of town. And
turns out I had one friend in New Orleans. So, you know, I was back then on the Footbook machine and fucking said, hey, I'm in New Orleans. So the one guy I know hit me up. And I was like, fuck yeah. Because I was only there for like 2 days. So later in the day, we started hitting Bourbon Street. I started by myself because, you know, I like to have a good time. So my buddy meets up with me. We're on Bourbon Street. And then, of course, we end up at Mr. Larry Flint's Hustler Club.
Nice.
For like seven hours and $1,000 later.
Jesus Christ.
So look, this is how it was. It was daylight when I walked in. Far from it when I walked out. So my buddy, he's like, all right, well, we're not done, man. We're going to keep partying. I was like, let's rock, man. Let's go. So we're those two drunk assholes. We're both bald headed and kind of big. So we look like fucking creepers. And we're stumbling down Bourbon Street. And he's like, oh, you got to go to this place called the Frenchman, which is apparently a cool, like younger part of the town, you know, where all the non-tourists go. So we're stumbling down the street. We're pissing in the street. He's like, I got to piss. So we're pissing.
Everyone pisses in the street.
Right.
Welcome to New Orleans.
Yeah. No shit. But then we got beer.
Mind the puddles.
We got beer at what looked like somebody's house. You know, they have those corner stores that just look like a door and it says open. You're like, I can get beer. All right, cool. So we re-upped on the beers. We went to the Frenchman, you know, like hanging out and all this stuff. And it keeps getting later and later. And he's like, all right, well, fuck this. Let's start heading over this way. So we started going down Decatur Street. And we just roll into a bar. That's how things go. You just stumble into a fucking bar. So me and my buddy are hanging out and, you know, fucking doing shots and shit and getting fucking wasted. And then I think he had to be working at 8 a.m. And I think it was like 5:45, almost 6 a.m. And he's like, man, I got to go to work. I got to go. I'm like, all right, dude, I'm going to keep it going. You know, I'm just vacationing. And he leaves, and then I end up talking, or my phone rings, and I go outside, and I'm standing in the middle of Decatur Street, 6 in the morning, it's kind of raining. And I look inside, and I see these two dudes sitting on a couch, and they're kind of canoodling about something. And
canoodling means something different, Nicky. You use that word too often.
All right, whatever. So,
but you're not wrong.
You know, I'm like, hey, met some cool guy at a bar. I mean, my friend left, so this other guy seems pretty cool. He's friendly, whatever. I'm at a bar, fucking hanging out.
Right.
So we're sitting there, and then I kind of got this vibe. I don't know, kind of a light in the loafers kind of vibe from. So,
is this the 50s?
So I'm sitting there hanging out, and he starts getting real like deep in all these stories, and I'm wasted, and I don't give a shit, so I'm entertaining it or whatever. And then he starts really getting deep and kind of lispy, and then I was looking around, and I was
maybe
like,
he's just drunk.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe I had a couple of sarsaparillas, and I was like, hey man, don't take this the wrong way, but if you're gay and hitting on me, I mean. I'm cool with you, but I'm not into that. And he goes, bro, you're in a gay bar. I was like, no, I'm not. And he's like, bro, look around. And I'm like, I swing to the right.
Three dudes. So you do swing, huh?
Swing to the left. Four dudes and one girl. I was like, what about that girl? He goes, she's a prostitute. I was like, God damn it. So
you were in the literal snake pit.
I was in the snake pit, man. Like a bunch of ropey fucking. Ugh.
Just fighting them off. I'll beat every one of these snakes off to get out of here.
Ba-dum, boom. So we start talking, whatever, and then he goes, he's like, oh, hey, by the way, you like, do you like whippets? Like, you know, nitrous little whippet balloon things?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the dog.
Yeah, right.
I'm for him.
And I'm like, yeah, dude, I'll do a whippet, whatever, if you got one, you know, you can do those pretty somewhat discreetly, whatever. So he's like, no, they're back at my hotel room. And I'm like, wait a second.
You sucker.
I'm not going back to your hotel room. And he's like, no, man, it's cool. You know, I get it, whatever, da, da, da. And I'm like, well, I'll do some nitrous later. So then I was starting to get tired, and I was like, man, fuck it, I'm just going to ditch. And I'm going to walk back. Not necessarily the brightest or safest thing, but I'm just stumbling through, you know,
right.
Bourbon Street by myself.
Nice.
6 in the morning, nobody else on the streets. So I leave. And then the dude comes out. I was like, hey, man. Starts running on the street after me. I swear to God. He's running on the street. He's like, hey, where are you going? Did you want to do some nitrous? What's going on? And I'm like, and begrudgingly, I come back. I'm like, what? And he's like, come on, man. Let's hang out. Like he was really, really eager. And it was kind of frightening. But hey, I like
a compliment. I already wasted the roofie on you. You got to come back.
I know. But you know me. I'm a sucker for compliments. So I hung out some more.
You're so pretty and big.
So I had no I had no idea that I had walked into a gay bar and you know, knowing me, and I'm a very friendly person, so you know, I was giving him the benefit of the doubt or whatever. Finally clear out.
So later on, did you give him the benefit of the doubt?
Of my doubt. So we get a cab, we go all the fuck the way over to this guy's hotel, and we go up to his room, and he opens the door, and it's pitch black, and he's got like those, you know, blackout curtains and all this shit. And then there's like this girl in bed, like naked, sleeping. And I'm like, well, this just got a little better, you know. And this chick gets up, and then I'm like, oh, she's kind of a fruit fly, you know what I mean, hanging out with the gays. And she wakes up, and then I was like, so hey man, where's these whippets you were talking about? This motherfucker wasn't talking about, like, you know, whippets. Like,
right.
No, he had a fucking nitrous tank the size of my thigh. I was like, did you rob a dentist's office for this? And then he's like, you want a balloon? I was like, sure, I'll take a balloon. I was like, dude, that's 3 feet circumference, man. What the fuck? And then he's like, hold this. So he gives one to me. Then he blows up two more. Then we all sit side to side on the couch, and we've all got 3 foot pink balloons hanging over our heads. And then we're like, oh, this is fun.
So you went for 48 hours?
Yeah.
You went 48 hours in New Orleans. You haven't seen the hotel room yet, and you end up in some gay guy's house doing a balloon of whippets, sit on a couch with, oh, God.
Oh, and the girl was in her underwear, too.
And just some girl in her underwear bebopping around, and like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so it was like, at like 10:15 in the morning, I was like, I got to go. So I finally got a cab, went back to my hotel room, and I laid down in it for about 2 hours before housekeeping came and told me to check out.
You got a hotel room for 2 hours.
Basically, I've done it before.
Hide your bag there for...
Right.
And then
right,
2 hours
right,
of napping.
Right,
that's it.
Right. It was terrible. That ride back to that shitty-ass New Orleans airport. Oh,
yeah.
I had to stumble on. I got lucky, though, because I was going to have to sleep at the fucking airport for like 8 hours, which was terrible.
Oh,
and then I saw this Southwest was like, we're boarding. And I was like, is there any room left? She's like, stand over here and I'll let you know. So I took one step back. And then she gets on the fucking microphone. Nicholas Clavo, please come to the front. I was like, we never broke eye contact. So I fucking limped on the very last seat of that plane, fucking flew back, and I wanted to die. But, you know, never turned out a good time, man. I mean,
yep,
snake pit. Kind of just find a hole of the way out.
Snake pit, cockpit. That was my weekend. I have a story that I want to say dovetails in, but I don't like the way that sounds. I don't like the way it butts up to that story. Matt and I were on tour, and I can't remember and he's going to be mad when he hears this episode and realizes I can't remember where the fuck we were. Matt's so country, okay? So Matt booked us somewhere. And he calls me up one day, and he goes, Patrick, man, I booked this in a super sweet place. It's totally your style. I went, what are you talking about? He goes, I booked you at one of them alternative bars. And I was like, fuck you.
Like alternative lifestyle?
He goes, man, you like that alternative music, and I got it booked in one alternative bar.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Matt, that is not what that means. You silly little redneck. And he's like, so we had this whole discussion, but the problem is it's booked like 3 months out. Well, 3 months of touring, you kind of just forget that whole conversation.
Yeah.
So, you know, we leave town. We're always gone for about 2 weeks. It's just a one night only at this place, you know, in the middle of the 2 week run.
You just got to know where you got to go and what you got to do.
Yeah, where I got to go and, you know, just get the map quest directions.
Yeah.
So we come pulling up to this place. 3 months later, we come pulling up to this place, and it just says Rhythms. And it's underlined in a rainbow. But it's a really old sign. It looked like something from the 80s. I'm like, well, rainbows were big in the
80s.
Yeah. It doesn't mean anything.
No.
But we look at the sign and we go, well, that's weird.
For an alternative rock bar.
I forgot that conversation. At this point, I didn't know that this was the bar he was talking about. Right? But I had the whole conversation with him 3 months ago, so it was just completely vacant to me at this point. I'm just thinking it's another venue, another night, whatever. That's a really old sign. It's kind of an 80s-style sign, but we'll let the rainbow go. Then we bebop up to the door. Right above the door handle, it just has a little sticker that says, I can't even think straight. I'm like, well, it's a bar.
Yeah.
You're kind of drunk.
You drink a lot. You can't think straight.
I was like, well, that's weird.
Yeah. You do a lot of nitrous. You can't think straight.
We walk in. And It's very bar-like. It's just very bar-like. But I will say there's that silvery tinsel shit, like from old proms and stuff.
No, no.
That's hanging down over by the stage. I'm like, all right, this is cheap decorations they put on the stage. It's a little Motley Crue, but it's okay. I'll allow it. And there's a bunch of vinyl albums on the wall. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. I was like, but, you know, rhythms, and it's got a bunch of these old school vinyls.
Was it all ABBA and the Bee Gees?
Well, you start looking, it's like it's Elton John, George Michael, and shit.
Donna Summer.
Pet Shop Boys.
Yeah, you're kind of staring at it. You're like, well, that's kind of weird. I didn't know Madonna had that many vinyls. That's cool.
No, you were just trying to deny yourself the whole time. You knew.
But, like, it wasn't clicking. It's been really long, a couple of weeks where it burned out. I'm just kind of tired. So I was kind of looking around, and there's no one in there at this point. But just the bartender. The manager. We know that there's also a pool table in the back of the bar. And we're kind of talking. We're like, all right, you know, what time do you want the show to start and blah, blah, blah. All right, well, we're going to go to the back and shoot pool. At this point, we walk all the way to the back.
Did you, grab your sticks back there?
Yes. We grabbed our wooden woodies. And we walk in the back. We're standing at the pool tables. And we're kind of looking around the bar. I put all the pool balls in. Matt goes to reach into where the cue balls are. He pulls out two cue balls. And he's just holding two white cue balls, and he's staring at it. And we're both looking at it, like, huh, that's weird. And then we both kind of look up and start looking around the room. And we start seeing some of the customers coming in. We're like, huh, that Meg Ryan-looking dude. He's like, it's like Meg Ryan, but she's like 6'7". Comes bebopping in. We're like,
Ellen DeGeneres, the bear.
And then we look back at each other and we're like, oh, it's a gay bar. And I immediately, I'm thinking through my whole set. My whole set is about sex, which gays aren't against, but.
Yeah, I've heard they're for it.
But it's all straight sex. I'm like, is this.
I've heard they're not for that.
Yeah. And I was like, this is going to go well. So I'm sitting there going, I don't know how I'm going to, because my entire set is about sex. And I'm sitting there going, I'm going to have to completely remanufacture this whole thing. And really all I had to do was just, I did it more like I was explaining to them about straight sex. Like it was a mystery to them. Well, they were just loving the show because it was fabulous. And we're cute boys. And next thing you know, one of the gay guys is like, hey, put your hat down. And then Matt had like his little ball cap. He throws it down on the floor in front of the stage. And every time they liked a joke, they would tip. So next thing, by the end of my set, I was fancy. I was Kathy Griffin at the end of it. I'm hilarious, and I'm talking about just gossiping about the stars. Oh, my stars. And every time they like a joke, you get a, hey! And
what was it like to be gay for a day, buddy?
Oh, let me tell you something. They gave me more than just a tip. It was the most fun I ever had. I had so many Harvey Wallbangers, and it was fancy, and I loved it. It was the most fun, and that's what I realized. I was like, gay bars are the best bars to play, because not only do you get paid, the audience will pay you again. They just start paying. Just be hilarious and totally inviting.
I love it.
I don't get why chicks don't like being hit on a bar. It's like, oh, don't buy me a drink. I'll get my own drink. It's like, fuck that. I will flirt my way to Drunkville in a heartbeat. I was like, I will hang out with you motherfuckers all fucking night. They were hilarious. It was most fun.
They're very embracing.
I love the gays.
Yeah.
Take it if you can get it.
I got to save that. I gotta have that little sound clip. I love the gays.
That's a good sound. That's a good drop.
This brings us to our last and final segment. My favorite part, the vent.
Cock, fuck, balls, ball, you
shit,
fucking suck.
Cock, eat fuck, shit, pussy.
I hate this segment.
This is the part where we get to bitch about the shit that pisses us off. It's never racist, never sexist, or anti-Semitic, but it could be racist, sexist, and anti-Semitic. Nick, you got something you want to bitch about?
It's very petty and it's pet peeve, and I don't care. So you know how if you go to Denny's, the menu has pictures on it, but most classy places don't have pictures on the goddamn menu. They've got words because you read words. And anytime I'm at a restaurant and we're reading the menu and someone's reading the words and they go, damn, this looks so good. I'm like, really? Really, the words barbecue, pork, that looks good instead of sounds good because you're reading, and it just bothers me.
It's semantics, but you're
it's
just.
It's semantics, and it drives me. If somebody says it, I'm like, you're not. Are those pictures?
Oh, the picture, does it look good?
No, I'll tell you, there's something.
Does the kerning of the text make you feel the?
Maybe it's in a really good sans serif font.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Well, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, you know what sans serif means? No feet. You're welcome.
Wow. Did y'all all have to whip out your clipboards and write that down?
Fact of the day.
Jesus. Well, I have something like that's really obnoxious to me that's similar about just poor phrasing.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the phrases is, or I could care less. Everyone says, I could care less. Oh, I could care less. I could care less. It means you do care.
Yeah, there's
so what,
care
you,
less.
What you're trying to say is you don't care at all. But if you say, I could care less, means you care. Is I couldn't care less.
Clearly.
Clearly.
I could not care less.
Yes, yes, exactly. Conjugating could not care less. Yeah. Couldn't care less. I could care less. So I hear people say that. I'm like, I have to correct them. It's like my pet peeve where I'm like, fuck you.
Wrong English, motherfucker.
God damn it. Figure your shit out and make sure your toilet paper goes over the top, not behind the back. What are you, a fucking animal? God damn coasters, people.
Supposedly.
Supposedly.
Aaron, anything upset you, sir?
But you know what? We'll talk a little bit about how people are in today's social environment and something that really bothers me about the average person and how they view and how they judge the people around them. I know a couple of fun-loving guys who like to have a good time who live in a house where, you know, they've got a nice lesbian couple on one side and then some renters that moved in who were Latino. And these fantastic guys started immediately, even though these are very tolerant gentlemen who don't have these feelings at all, it still just comes right in to start making, you know, immigration jokes and
lesbian
and all that. Yeah. Oh, God, it's just terrible. And how, you know, people could just make these snap judgments.
It's called prejudice.
I feel like this because we got embarrassed today.
So are we those guys?
I'm afraid we are. I said we were great. but our neighbors, they're Latino, and we've made some jokes, immigration jokes, stuff like that. You get a little drunk and
took our jobs.
Yeah, they're renters anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
How many Mexicans you got in that house? Whatever, make these really inappropriate jokes. But just amongst ourselves.
Well, today we were out front doing what classy, upscale white people like ourselves do, which is like move all our stuff out of the garage and into the yard and cut up lots of boxes and like charge the battery of your car.
Yeah.
And really classing the joint up. We've got our dogs off of leashes just running wild through the neighborhood.
First off, it's not like we have pit bulls and Rottweilers. It's like men pin. It's a little miniature pincher and a Pomeranian. Like, yes.
But they're running the streets. Running the streets, you know.
And we're dog sitting another small dog. It's like a Minpin Italian Greyhound mix little thing.
Yeah, so the biggest dog is 10 pounds. So we got a 10-pound, an 8-pound, and a 6-pound. But they're still running the streets and everything. And, man, the neighbor, he pulls out in his Chrysler 300.
It's really nice.
And is pulling past the front of the house. He's got super dark tint on his windows and everything. But he gives a honk. And so I assume he's waving in there, and we wave. And he drives past, and we're just standing there.
That's when I realized that my little puppy's missing. And I start yelling for a sinner.
He's trying to fucking commit Harry Carey on a fucking car.
He's done this before. He'll just run right out in the street and like right under cars. So as soon as car goes by, not much traffic in our cul-de-sac because it's not really a thoroughfare.
Yeah.
But still, you know, we don't want one of the neighbors crushing our dog because he's got a little suicide in his head. And I don't know how to get it out of there. So Patrick goes running around and then we hear him hit the brakes. And I hear Patrick going, oh, fuck!
We're like good neighbors do, just shout no fuck in the middle of the neighborhood.
You know, just
surrounded by his own trash and I'm
and broke down cars. And so the guy like hits the brakes and opens the door and gets out. And
to help me get center back.
Yeah, just to help, you know, do the right thing and neighborly thing and help.
Yeah, because he almost hit the dog. The dog like saw the car coming and then just booked it right in front of the car. For some reason, he just jumped off the curb and ran right in front of the car. He hits the brakes, and then he slides out to help, you know, make sure the dog's okay. And Sinner's fine. He's just bebopping around. Like, hey, what's up, guy? And then, you know, the dog runs up, starts barking at him. And then here comes the Pomeranian. He's barking at him. And I'm like, oh, God. This looks so bad. My little pack of small fag dogs are running after this guy. And then the guy turns around, and he's wearing an entire cop uniform.
It's a cop.
It's got to be a costume.
I mean, it's a little early for Halloween, but some people like to get it in. I don't know if it's different. If this is Mexican Halloween, I hope so.
Day of the Dead. Is that today?
So you feel bad about yourself for
I just think people
making
should...
fun of a man of the law who's helping our streets?
Yes, who looks the other way when we're sleeping in the front yard drunk. Yeah, I feel a little bad about it.
All right, buddy.
All the questionable, shifty, shady characters come bebopping into our house all hours of the night. Yeah, he's overlooked all of that.
And not to mention
while we're making fun of him, making catty comments behind his back.
And trust me, not at a low decibel. You're out on the back porch. Rah, 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 and he's like, these fucking guys.
He seems to like us, all right.
Kudos, Mr. Neighbor Cop. You are awesome.
Yep. So we're gonna try to tone down our snap judgments. And I think everyone else out there should too, because you could get in trouble.
With Johnny Law or Jose Law.
I can't stop. This is what got us into this. This is what I'm talking about. It's that behavior that's got to stop.
Well, if you have any stories where you caught yourself in the middle of a snake pit, or you have something you want to bitch about, email us your story at devilsbusinesspodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. Be sure to wrap it up and sleep it off. Bye.
This has been a Zombie Werewolf production.
I love the gays.